The Science Museum's open today. If you go now, you'll have time to discover yourself before it closes. The museum website invites you to explore the science of who you are in the Who Am I exhibition. And I quote, "What makes you smarter than a chimp? What makes you smile? What makes you, you?" There's a question. What makes you, you? Throughout history, scientists, theologians, historians, archaeologists, amongst others, have dedicated their lives to answering that question. Who am I? It's a great question. And a great question to ponder on at the beginning of this new year in a new series on beginnings, the opening chapters of Genesis. Who am I? It's a fundamental question, a matter of identity. The sort of question we may ponder occasionally when we get time amongst the busyness of life, or moments that spark that, the birth of a new child, the death of a loved one, New Year's Eve, a new job or redundancy, even global news like the tragedy of the recent Australia fires. Who am I? A matter of identity. The Science Museum's open if you want their take, or you could stay here, because God's Word also has something to say. Last week we started at the very beginning, the beginning of all creation, as God formed everything from nothing with a word. And there are many different views on that. Personally, I favour a much older earth than seven literal 24-hour days, but it's not something to fall out over in itself. And to do so misses the main point of the text, that God created all of creation, that God formed everything from nothing. This week we come to Genesis 1:26 and the account of our creation, the beginning of humanity, words that speak into this matter of identity. Something that's going to be in our heads for the next 4 weeks, looking at the text of Genesis 1 and 2 this week and next, followed by two thematic sermons on marriage and the family, and then sexuality and our bodies. And what God has to say on these things over the coming weeks is very practical for our lives, as humans, as men and women, as members of the church. There are big questions being asked at the moment. We may even be asking them ourselves. Why do I exist? Why am I here? How do I relate to others? How are men and women different? Who determines that? What about different roles in home and family life? What does all this look like? And where do I find the answers? There's much confusion around the topic of identity, who we are as people. But as always, we want God to set the agenda, which he does as we come to his word. And inevitably, though, this is going to challenge some of our preconceptions. And the challenges may feel very personal because identity is fundamental to our lives. Yet when the Bible challenges us, we don't want to simply say it's wrong. I hope and pray we will all be changed by God's word through this series. So let me give an outline for this week and next week. This morning we're in Genesis 1:26 to 2:3. We're considering how we've been created for rule and relationship. Next week, Genesis 2:4 to 25, how we've been created male and female. So three big themes over the next 2 weeks: created for rule, created for relationship, and created male and female. The first two this week, the last one next week. All of which are big things. So we're going to need God's help as much as ever to understand what he's saying as we come to his word here. So let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, help us humble ourselves before you and your word this morning. Remove our preconceptions and the baggage we bring to your word. Would your spirit make us wise to understand what you're saying now? Teach us about you, about ourselves, and change our lives through it for our good and your glory. Amen. The Bible text tells us that God created us. It's there in the opening verse of our passage, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind," humanity. Verse 27, so God created mankind, humanity. We're not accidents of time and space. We've been created by a creator God. Who am I? Well, the first thing we need to be reminded of, because we often forget, is this fact the Bible teaches, that we are human beings, all created by God. We are all created by God. Ourselves, all creatures created by the Creator God, which challenges us because this means we're not gods ourselves. We've been created by a Creator. We're not masters of our own destiny, but each accountable to our Creator. Romans 14:12 tells us there will come a day when each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. One day, every one of us here today will have to give an account to our Creator about how we've lived our lives, the choices and decisions we've made, priorities we've put in place, who or what we've chosen to build our lives on. The fact of our creation means we're accountable to someone greater than ourselves. But here's the encouragement. It also shows us we are inherently loved. Like the craftsman who brings to life the sculpture from a cold piece of rock, giving it form and detail. So God has brought us into being. He crafted us, made each of us unique. However you might be feeling about yourself this morning, and we know only too well our failings, we are each loved by the one who's given us life. And we humans have been sculpted or created in a way that's different from the rest of creation. Something special, very special. Verses 26 and 27, made in God's image. Let us make mankind, humanity, in our image, in our likeness. So God created mankind in his own image. We are made in the image of God. Nothing else in all creation reflects God's image like that. Wow. But then I look at the world and I wonder what sort of God has made us like this. Because I look at the world and I see abuse of the most vulnerable in society. Gangs of teenagers stabbing one another for walking down the wrong street. Financial exploitation at all levels, global banks, internet scams, members of parliament. Not to mention destruction of the environment in pursuit of natural resources, from deforestation to fracking. Is this really what it means to be human? And what sort of God has made us like that in his image? It's not a very attractive image, so we're not attracted to God. But the reality is we are broken images. Like looking into a cracked mirror, the image is a distortion of what it's meant to be. Since our rebellion against God, and we're coming to that in our series in Genesis chapter 3, since then and on throughout history and in each of our lives, we reflect our Creator, but we are broken images. Yet here this morning, and next week, we're in the only two chapters of the whole Bible that step back over the fall, looking at what it really means to be made in the image of God. And we are God's special creation, the pinnacle, made in the image of God. We'll struggle to exhaust the depth of what that means, but there are two things we can be sure of this morning from our passage. We are created to rule, and we are created for relationship. Created for rule and relationship. Rule and relationship set us apart from the rest of creation as God's image bearers. Because an image bearer is a representative. We might use the word ambassador, a helpful image. The British ambassador to the United States represents our nation, ultimately our head of state, the Queen. He's not the Queen, but he is her image bearer within the United States, and it's a unique and special position. Human beings are God's image bearers on earth, God's representatives on earth. Which means our first sermon point should be no surprise, that we are, as humans, created by God to rule over creation under God. Created to rule over creation under God. Of everything in creation, God has created us special and unique. Set apart from the rest of creation. Created and set apart for a purpose. God says in verse 26 that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. A purpose, a responsibility, restated in verses 28 to 30. As God blesses Adam and Eve, charging them to be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over every living creature. Created to rule over creation under God. Foundational to being human is the responsibility to exercise rule over the rest of creation. What sort of rule? Well, we're God's representative, so our rule should represent God. God is just and fair and loving and good. Our rule should mirror these things for God's glory and the good of that which we rule over. Peter Parker, as Spider-Man, is probably one of the most well-known Marvel characters, known as the Peter Parker Principle, a quote attributed to his Uncle Ben, sees Uncle Ben saying to Peter that with great power come great responsibility. As Genesis 1 tells us and Psalm 8 reminds us, we have been given lordship over the rest of creation. But with great power comes great responsibility. So will we exercise our rule in a way that represents the one whose image we bear? We only have to look around the world to see that sadly this isn't the case. Instead of ruling for the good of creation, we rule for the good of ourselves. We don't care for creation, but exploit it. We don't use creation, but abuse it. And this works itself out in many ways. We don't relate to others as we were designed to. We'll come to that in a moment. But primarily from verses 26 and 28, we don't relate to the physical creation as we were designed to. Animals and plants and natural resources. How concerned are we for the good of creation? How much do we really care that animals and plants and natural resources aren't exploited? How much do we care that our world is being trashed by those who are meant to care for it? Us. Often we don't because it suits us not to. It's often more costly and less convenient to show genuine concern for creation. Environmental concerns are one obvious area of application. I feel personally challenged here. If a core purpose of being human is to rule over creation under God as God's representatives, it should impact our priorities, our concerns, and our actions. Have we been affected emotionally by the destruction the Australia fires have caused? Do we care about recycling? Deforestation, sustainable fishing? Do we care about animal cruelty? What's our view on hunting, fishing, shooting? We can make good consumer choices in these areas. Our trip to the supermarket, and how we use our energy. And I'm not laying down the law for these things. God gives no specifics for free-range eggs or organic meat. But the principle are that it matters how we treat the rest of creation. And we'll each be held accountable by God for how we exercise this responsibility. But I wonder if the starting point for getting this so wrong comes from the fact that we forget we're created by God to rule over creation under God. This is God's creation, it's not mine. We considered earlier that we are creatures and not the creator, made in the image of God, but not God's ourselves. Yet don't we live in rebellion to that? We want to be God ourselves. I'm accountable to me. I'll decide how I live. I need to be true to myself. Yet deep down, it never seems to truly satisfy. True satisfaction comes from being the people we were meant to be, from ruling over creation in the way God created us to, and from relating to our Creator and others as He created us to. Which is our second point this morning, that we are as humans created by God for relationship with God and each other. Created for relationship with God and each other. Created by God, created to rule, created for relationship. How's your understanding of the Trinity? Are we able to admit that we've still not quite nailed every nuance of it? Many years ago, a very wise minister said to me, Christianity is never blind faith. It's terribly unsatisfactory to ask someone to base their life on that. But if there's one thing it's okay to shrug your shoulders on and say, well, I'm just not sure, well, it's anything to do with the very nature of God himself. By his nature, God is intrinsically relational. The Bible as a whole teaches that one God, three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. And whatever your exact take on verse 26, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, there is at least an inference of this relational element of God here. So being created in the image of God means being created as relational beings for relationship with God and each other. Genesis 1:27, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God created human beings for relationship with God and each other. Which means it's impossible to realize our true humanity apart from others. Because we're not created that way. We're created for relationship. The key relationship we're created for is with our Creator. Verse 26, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So it's fair to say we can never realize our true humanity unless we're in relationship with the Creator God. Lives lived seeking independence from God will never reflect true humanity. Yet as we read on in the Bible, there's a shocking discovery. In fact, from Genesis 3 onwards, through the rest of the Bible and human history, each of us naturally have a broken relationship with God. We're broken images, naturally rebelling against God, wanting to be God ourselves, rulers over our own lives. So sadly, each of us is naturally less than who we were created to be. Only when we come into relationship with God do we become the people we were created to be. And the Bible teaches there's only one way for us to come to God, through the Son. Jesus' words in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says only through trusting in him can we find the right relationship with God each of us so desperately needs. If you want to discover who you are, what it means to embrace your true humanity in all its fullness, the first step is to come into relationship with God. Turn and trust in Jesus. Become a Christian. If you're here today and not a Christian, if you're not trusting in Jesus, I'd urge you to do so. Come and speak to me or Steve or another leader in the church or a trusted Christian friend. We would love to talk to you more about that. But the idea that we're created solely for relationship with God is also alien to Genesis chapter 1. Verse 27. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. True humanity comes not only in relating to God, but also in relating to others. And as God is one God, but three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, relating together, so too the image here is one humanity, but two persons, male and female, relating together. Being created, male and female, and what that means, well, that's the topic of next week's sermon. That's not for now. But as we begin to tie this sermon up and come to a close this morning, let's just consider more generally our relationships with one another. Created by God for relationship with God and each other. Oh, it's a key reason we hope relationship with each other is central to church life at All Saints and St. Richard's. It's sad, but I often hear people say of themselves or of others, you know, they're Christians, they have a faith, a relationship with God, but they don't come to church or have a relationship with God's people. I don't think the Bible particularly recognizes that category of Christian. The idea that we can have a relationship with God that's independent of others, especially God's people, just doesn't sit with Genesis 1 and what it means to embrace our true humanity. So the natural question is, how do we grow our relationships with one another here? For example, serving together in the church family. Committing to a home group, praying together, chatting to those we don't know over coffee after church, meeting during the week to foster relationships, over a meal or out for a walk or a cup of coffee, meeting in twos or threes to read the Bible and pray together for encouragement and accountability. Genesis 1 isn't just concerned with church relationships. We're talking about what it means to be human, created by God. So being people in relationship extends to the world. It means relating within our local communities, our family networks, or neighbours, or at work, or school, the local gym, or wherever else we go socially. Are we being relational in those contexts? Or is it a case of head down and getting on with doing our own thing? Does your heart leap or sink when you find you're coming out your door at the same time as the person who lives opposite? Do you engage with? Do you relate to them then? Created by God for relationship with God and each other. And as those who have a relationship with God through trusting in the Lord Jesus, what better opportunity to share the good news of eternal life than in our relationships with unbelievers? Not only are we fulfilling a key purpose of what it means to be human as we relate to others, we're fulfilling a key purpose of what it means to be Christians as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus within those relationships. It's win-win all round. And God gets all the glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what are we that you're mindful of us, that you care for us? You've made us a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned us with glory and honor. You made us rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under our feet. Thank you for creating us as the pinnacle of your creation, for rule and relationship. Forgive us for being such bad stewards of your creation. Forgive us for not relating to you or others as we ought. By your Spirit, as we come to you through the Lord Jesus, please change our hearts and help us to be image bearers who glorify you with words and lives that clearly proclaim, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.